proclaim, I will proclaim, yes, I will, the glory of the risen Lord, who was slain, now he is alive, to reconcile man to God, forever you will be. Upon the throne, I gladly bow the knee and worship you alone. Forever you will be, forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne.
Dear ones, brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to worship today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. The kingdom of God is here. We rejoice in the sovereignty of God and trust in his goodness. God welcomes us into his presence. We rejoice in the sovereignty of God and trust in his goodness. Jesus is enthroned on high, seated at the right hand of God. We rejoice in the sovereignty of God and trust in his goodness. The Holy Spirit moves in our lives, teaching us that God is steadfast and faithful. We rejoice in the sovereignty of God and trust in his goodness. We come to worship and adore the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we light the Christ candle, remembering Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Let's pray together. Eternal God, you are the light of the minds that know you, the joy of the hearts that love you, and the strength of the wills that serve you. Grant us so to know you that we may truly love you, and so to love you that we may fully serve you, whose service is perfect freedom. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us come to the throne of grace, seeking God's forgiveness and mercy. Let's pray the prayer of confession. O God, our King and our Maker, forgive us when we try to make you in our image. Forgive us when we turn to earthly rulers for the wisdom and strength you have already shown us. Fulfill your purpose in us, that we may be your people, your temples upon this earth, your sisters and brothers in love and mercy. In trust and hope we pray. Amen.
Even the Most High God regards the lowly with love and compassion. Even the perfect Christ welcomes the sinful and the lost with open arms. We are the brothers and sisters of Christ. We are the family of God, and we are all forgiven by God's amazing grace. Praise be to God for the love and the forgiveness he has shown us in Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture reading for today is 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 through to 20. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up from Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them shall do." Samuel told the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of the chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters and be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants, your men servants and maid servants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and yourselves will become slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go before us and fight our battles." That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Last Sunday, we heard about the very beginning of Samuel's lifelong call as a prophet and a leader for the people of Israel. We were with him when he was just a boy. Well, today we've kind of leapt through time and we're at the end of his ministry. It seems that Samuel had hoped that when he was done, his sons would be able to succeed him in leadership. But over time, it had become clear that they were not going to be good or godly leaders. So things weren't going to go the way Samuel had hoped. Changes were afoot. Many of you may find some affinity with Samuel at this stage of his life. You've gone through this transition into retirement, and you've acquired that wisdom that comes as you go through the process of letting your work go so that it can become what it will be after you're done. As I get closer to 60, I'm starting to think about things like that, and I can appreciate how it might have felt for Samuel to have those elders come to him demanding something very different than he'd planned for them. Just on a personal level, it can't have been easy for Samuel. And even more, Israel's decision to go a different way than what God wanted for them must have been an incredibly difficult thing for God's prophet to stomach. As we heard, the elders came to him en masse. This was not just one or two people he had worked with over the years. This was an organized delegation of leaders. And they demanded that before he was done, Samuel appoint a king to be their next leader. A king like the other countries around them had. Samuel was not happy with this. So he prayed to the God whose voice he had known since those early days. And I think God's response must have been surprising for the old prophet. He knew God's heart for the people, and he knew God's plans and promises for them. So he probably expected that God would feel the same way he felt about this whole situation. Well, surprisingly, God told Samuel to listen to the people. He explained that they weren't rejecting Samuel's leadership. As had happened periodically before, they were actually rejecting God. But rather than throwing up his divine hands and just leaving them to their misguided choices, God told Samuel to warn the people about the reality of what having a king like they wanted would end up costing them. Well, the people refused to heed that warning. They demanded a king like all the other nations had, a king who would go out before them and fight their battles. And in that second part of their demand, we get some inkling of what might have been the real driving force behind this desire. See, for a long time, Israel had been dealing with a Philistine threat from the west. And now at this point, they were also facing an Ammonite threat from the east. Enemies on two fronts can tend to make a country rather nervous. And we can certainly hear this anxiety in the elders' demands for a human king who could deal with those threats. Now, it needs to be said that by this point, God himself had said that there was going to be a time that would come when Israel would have a king. As Moses had come to the end of his time in leadership, God had instructed him to tell the people the kind of king he would give them when the time came. It was to be the king that God chose for them, a king who knew and followed God's laws and God's ways, a king who was humble and understood that he was just one among many, and that his call was to serve God and to serve God's people, not to be served. So it was not that God objected to the idea of Israel having a king. It was that God knew that it would not be good for them to have the kind of king that the other nations had, a king whose primary interest was in garnering more and more power and political influence, regardless of the cost to their people. A king like all the other nations had would not be good for God's people, and yet that's exactly what Israel's elders were demanding. Remember, as a nation, Israel's call was to be distinctive, to be different, because the God they worship and follow is different. Well, in order to live out that call, Israel's kings would need to be different as well. They were to be godly kings, trusting in God themselves and reigning in the way that God led them to reign. They were to clearly understand that they couldn't be Israel's savior and deliverer. That was God's job. And they were to reign with faith that God would do all of that for them and lead the people in ways that encouraged that faith and trust in their God. Under a good and godly king, the people of Israel's faith would deepen, so their life with God truly would be an example to others. Under bad kings, the opposite would happen, and as a result, Israel would not be living into the call God had for them. So the stakes on this were pretty high. Which might make us wonder why on earth God didn't stop the Israelites from having that kind of king they were demanding. Remember, God explained to Samuel they weren't rejecting the prophet, they were rejecting God. And he told Samuel to make sure that the people understood the consequences of having the kind of king they thought they wanted. It was like God was saying to them, I really wish you wouldn't do this, but if you insist, I'm going to prepare you for how it's going to turn out. Reminds me of a parent trying to help a wayward child. Reminds me of the prodigal son's father. It's so poignant, this love for us that is still so tangible, even when we are determined to rebuff God, to ignore his wisdom and go our own ways towards things that are actually so much less than what God is actually trying to give us. Well, to see our connection with this part of Israel's story, we need to step back from the specifics of this and remember the bigger story of God. In God's big plan for our world, he has expanded this call to be distinctive and to be a light to the nations, so that it now includes everyone who follows Jesus. That's what happened when the Holy Spirit began to be poured out on Gentiles. So now, as Jesus' followers today, we are actually called to be that light to the nations, to be a people who are distinctive from the rest of the world, because we hold God at the center of our lives, and we live each day listening for his leading, and to the best of our abilities, following it. So now we are called to be that living example of what life can be like when we live that way, putting and keeping our trust in God above all else. And when and if we are able to live into that call, then people watching around us can sense and see that life really can be different. And hopefully they are drawn to explore that life for themselves. It's all part of the mission of God in the world. As much as we might wonder why God has chosen and called us, our role in that mission is absolutely central. Now, sometimes it is not especially hard to live this way, listening for and following the Holy Spirit's leading for us today, especially when we're with each other and amongst others who tend to approach life this same way, holding the same beliefs and values that we do. But the very nature of this call to be a light to others means that we can't just hide away in our cloistered communities of other Jesus followers. We can't only have Christian friends. The very nature of our call means that we need to be out in and amongst people, people who may not actually know Jesus or follow in his way, maybe don't even know anything about him. Now, this can be hard, because when we are amongst others who do life differently, we can actually end up being tempted in exactly the same way the Israelites were being tempted here. We want to conform. We want to fit in and be like our neighbors. It takes courage to be different, especially when being different means that others might think you're a little mad, or when being different costs you something, because it brings a sense of disconnect between you and maybe people you care about. I faced that problem personally a few weeks ago. I was in a rather intense, interesting discussion with a dear friend, someone I love very much, someone I've actually known for over 40 years. And we reached a point where my belief and trust in God actually became a barrier for my friend being able to continue that conversation with me. He got frustrated and he barked at me, "Diane, God doesn't exist." Now, I have to say, he is normally very respectful of me, of my beliefs, and of what I do. He just kind of hit the wall that day, and it all came out. Because the truth is that he and I are different in this. And when the rubber hits the road, we can't ignore that or pretend that it isn't so. It was a pretty hard moment for both of us. Fortunately, I think we're okay. But things are a little different now. I think we are both a little more cautious about not carelessly getting to that point again. And so maybe we aren't quite as at ease with each other as we once were. Sometimes it gets hard to be different like this. Sometimes we are faced with this huge temptation to just conform, whether that is to conform to the people we're with or to conform to something larger, like the spirit of our times. It's something to watch for, something to be listening for the Holy Spirit's leading on. As people whose trust is meant to be in God above all else, we can each find ourselves slipping into trusting other things more than we trust God. And as he did with Israel, God lets us do this. He's the opposite of a helicopter parent. He lets us wander off and learn our own lessons, painful though they may be. But he also never abandons us to our poor choices. Like that prodigal son's father, God sticks with us, patiently waiting for us to turn around and come back to him, even running to us and throwing his arms around us, welcoming us back, welcoming us to try again. This call to be a distinctive people, to be different, it can be challenging. But never doubt that God offers us the grace to be able to live it out and the grace to pick ourselves back up and try again when we haven't done such a good job of that. And in the words of that wonderful old hymn, all of that grace in all of its forms is truly what will lead us home. Amen.
O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on a cross, my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Good morning. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the bottomless love that is your being and for your mercy. We thank you for the movement of your Holy Spirit as you enter into our daily lives, particularly in those situations where we ask for your additional help. We are deeply grateful for your response to our prayers. The world in general seems to become increasingly autocratic politically, and in the choices governing bodies make towards their citizens. We ask that these governing bodies treat their people with compassion and kindness, no matter their background. Open the hearts of all people in the world to share your love that nurtures bodies and souls, and to discern clearly where your love is in all situations. We ask for your help through the provision of energy and hope, as well as kindness and mercy as we care for those in difficult situations. Those situations that include sickness, financial trouble, and housing. Help each of us to have the discernment to best offer assistance to those who are struggling with addictions, grief, mental health issues, including anxiety and depression. We ask for your help to know when to refer to professionals. We pray for the good health, physical as well as mental, of all community leaders, that they can provide healthy visions that are fair to all in the policies that they are forming. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As God has provided everything we need, let us give back to him a portion of what he has given us with grateful thanks, and let us pray the offertory prayer for this week. Generous God, we have known your unfailing love and faithfulness, your care and provision, your protection and salvation. And so we respond with deep gratitude, offering back to you a portion of what you have given to us. Accept the gifts we bring, tangible expressions of our love and gratitude for what you have so generously given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It has been some time since we have had an official transfer of membership Sunday. This is a Sunday service when we officially welcome new members into the congregation. And so we are asking for people who may like to become members of the congregation. Maybe you're not a member yet and you would like to become a member, to let us know. Once we've gathered a list of names, we will put together a date to do that and make it official. So if you are part of this online service and you are not a member of this congregation but would like to be, you absolutely can be. You absolutely can be. And we would love to hear from you. So just call the church office, talk to Adele. She'll tell you what's involved and take your name, and we will be in touch. Friends, as you go into the coming days, remember that you do not go alone. God's faithful love goes with you. No matter what you are facing, God will not abandon you. God is with you, and you belong to him. So go from here with that knowledge that God's loving presence goes with you. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. Amen.
Above all things, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Yeah, forever God is faithful, forever God. Outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise.